Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you so much for joining us here at Alternative Talk Radio. I'm Susie Pabor, and I'll be your host this evening along with my co-host, medium Adela Levine. And before we get started with the readings, we just want to say that we send our prayers and best wishes go out to all of you affected by the big storms happening across our country these last few days. So our best wishes go out to all of you. I want to remind everyone that in this next series of shows that Adela will be exclusively doing medium readings, which are different than her intuitive readings, and she'll explain it more in depth, but it really means that she'll be putting you and your loved ones back in touch in order to help in the healing process and, of course, to spread awareness that life continues once we transition over. So whether you're read tonight or just listening in, have your pen and paper handy, because as with every show, you're sure to be inspired and to grow from Adela's insight and readings. And these readings will be brief, and we can't get to everyone. So if you'd like to spend some private time with Adela in person, over the phone, or via Skype, please visit her website at adelalevine.com. That's A-D-E-L-A. L-A-V-I-N-E, and she will have information on her website. She's on Facebook there and Twitter, and she'll have some links for you. So with that, let's bring Adela on.
Hi.
Hey. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
So great to have you, hon. Thanks again after a full day of readings there to spend some time with our listening audience to help them along their journey there and so that they can get a little taste of you. And
yeah, absolutely. I look forward to coming in, especially for everybody, and seeing you, and it's definitely something I look forward to.
Great. So yeah. Why don't you let everybody know about what you're doing these days with your classes, what you've got into?
Oh, yeah. Let's see. I'm teaching a 102 class, just meaning it's a second-level class. So that class is actually finishing out right now, so that wouldn't be the class. But the next class is a 103 class. I always say if you're interested on the advanced level classes and you feel like you've – or this is a class for people who maybe do tarot card readings already, but they want to learn how to read without using anything, without using any tools, or for people who feel that they're very highly intuitive and has had some other experiences or classes, this is a class for you. If you're brand new to honing your abilities, then wait for the 101 class. And you can contact me at Adela Levine, A-D-E-L-A, L-A-V-I-N-E, at gmail.com. Or on Facebook, I'm with the same thing, Adela Levine, or on Twitter for Adela Medium, to find out more. I'm also going to be in Utah next weekend doing readings on next Friday night, gallery reads. If anyone's in that area, you can contact the Crones Hollow in Salt Lake City, and they can give you a very limited seating. Because as we've talked about before, my gallery reads, I keep them very small so that I can read everybody. So the limit, the cap on there is 30 people. But everybody in that room will get a reading. And then flashback here into where we are at the Green Man store. I do gallery reads, and I always forget the actual date on my next gallery read, but if you contact me, I can give you that. And still just got word on the show I'm working on, that's in development, and some other appearances.
Oh, that's
coming up.
Great.
But yeah, so the readings are.
Yeah, and they can see the calendar over at the Green Man store.
They can see the calendar at the Green Man store. They can just contact me at my website, adelalevine.com, and it has the list of the different type of readings I do, and I can tell you, you can email me and I can tell you, or you can go to the Green Man site, which is actually on my website, so you can click on there from there if it's easier to just remember one website.
Right, exactly. And you brought up the point of describing the different types of readings that you do.
Yes. The different type of readings that I do, the intuitive readings, are basically psychic-type readings. They're readings talking about you and what I see going on with you. I don't use any tools, and it helps guide you through things that are happening in your life, whether it's finances or love or whatnot, or just helping you get back on your path. So it's really only about you. The medium readings, which is what we're doing on this show, is talking to those who've passed on. And we have decided that, and I kind of really, when I started this, I actually started only doing medium readings. And one day I decided to do a reading on somebody intuitively in the medium reading, and that's where I started doing both. So I had kind of always thought that I was going to put the mediumship out there, because I definitely know a lot. I don't think I've talked a lot about this on the show, but I lost my mother when I was 10 days old, and then my aunt raised me, and she died when I was 19, and then my uncle who raised me died 10 years later. So I've had a lot of death. So because of that, it made me really want to help people who have that kind of loss. So what I think we both have found, and I know I have found too, is that doing the medium readings are just, not everybody does medium readings. So it's hard to find somebody and to get those medium readings. And if I can offer that for here on the show to give people some help, I feel that that's probably going to benefit.
Yeah.
And because in a lot of my medium readings, the spirits want to help you with your life, it does kind of become where they talk to you and then they want to help guide you with your life. So you kind of get a little bit of both anyway. But, yeah, absolutely. I feel like the medium readings definitely, what people understand is that you can be, quote, psychic or intuitive, but you may not be a medium. And I was describing this in my class the other night. Being a medium isn't just seeing spirits. A lot of people can see spirits, but to me, this is my definition of being a medium, is when you can get the details, like specific details with the spirit. Who is this person? Where? How did they die? Can they tell me something specifically about themselves? But just seeing someone saying, oh, your grandmother's here, isn't enough to really mediate. So a mediator is to talk, you know, between two people. And that's what a medium is. It's just that we're contacting between two people on the other side.
And you're able to translate.
And translate. Yes. And right. And so psychics can claim that they are mediums, but if they can't give you very specific details and give you all this information, I would be leery. And also for people who are looking for mediums, look for someone who's not asking you for a bunch of information, who isn't trying to make it fit. You know, you say no and they kind of go, yes, it is, and they force force it on you. Those are all kind of flags that this person may not be actually communicating. It's very dangerous, and it's one of my reasons why I'm going out there to be more public and to get to as many people as I can, to give false information to those people who are looking to talk to their loved ones, because I know what it's like to be emotional and upset and to want to connect with it. When I started this, I was very young when I lost people, and I wanted that. I didn't know what my abilities were, even though I had them. And for people to give you false feeling that you're connecting with someone is awful. So that's why I feel like we can do a lot of good, probably, doing the mediumship.
Oh, it's been wonderful to watch. And again, what's so special about watching you do these readings and being the mediator is that you also help those on the other side, so that
right.
That people that are here are able to help carry out wishes, straighten out situations
mm-hmm.
by what they're telling you. And it's just, oh, I get chills just thinking about it.
Yeah, I love your chills.
I do.
What people understand is that spirits come in to help you, and they also come in to get help. So they're not just talking to you for you, but they also need to feel like they can get something off their chest or just be even acknowledged that they're around. They're like, I had somebody who was really shocked that this person was even around them because they had died when they were very young, but this was a parent, and they were like, no, I want them to know I'm their parent, that I'm around, and it's been very upsetting for me. So, yeah, it's for everybody to get some help out of it.
Yes.
The hardest part about this whole thing about the mediumship is that spirits are invisible, and they feel like they're not realizing, no one knows that they're around, and they just get very frustrated with that. And then the person who lost the person is frustrated because they want to be able to talk to the person that they care about. And that is where I feel like I can try and help just be the go-between.
Yeah. Wow, how rewarding to have such a beautiful gift. And it's rewarding for me that I can help along there on this side
yeah,
of it, at
absolutely.
Least.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, everybody has
it. Feels so good.
Good. I'm glad everybody has it to some degree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, we have got a pretty big waiting list in the queue here. How mm-hmm. do you feel about taking a call?
Sure. Did we yeah. want to wait till later to talk about the subject matter?
Oh.
We'll talk through the show.
Oh, why don't you go ahead and let
just
them know.
A little brief before. I know people are anxious to get to the calls. Also, a little bit of rules about the calls. So, so everybody knows we're on the same page. These are medium readings only. If you're calling for a psychic reading, we're going to have to pass you up and go to the next call because this is only mediums readings only. Also, if you're calling just out of curiosity, you're probably not going to get as much out of it. I would say let people who really need to talk to somebody have the calls to, because calling out of curiosity is just going to be like great grandparents and people you don't really know. If you don't have anybody who really close to you died in your life and you're just kind of curious about the whole mediumship thing, it would be better off just listening to other people's readings. But if you really have someone you want to talk to, you're going to benefit from it so much better. But the rules on this is just make sure you speak. Because these are very brief readings, I want to kind of get to the person as quickly as possible because I can read a lot of people. So just let me know if this is a relative or a friend or a lover or whatnot right off the bat so I can pull the person in as quickly as possible. Also, just remember to speak during the reading. You don't have to fill me information, but just say yes or no. You know, your vibration is what they feel. And that's the rules on the readings. And remember, we're trying to get to everybody as much as we can, or as many people as we can. We're not going to be able to get to everybody. And just also remember, this is a taste. This is a taste. So what we're going to talk about tonight is it's been coming up. I usually like to go with whatever's been coming up all week. And what's been coming up is trying to understand the kind of, quote, hierarchy of the other side. So in other words, angels and guides and master teachers and spirits, and how does that all work, and understanding how do you know if your loved one is trying to get a hold of you versus to if something negative's in your home, quote unquote. Negative would just mean maybe a spirit that's not connected to you at all and is just kind of harassing you a little bit, or hauntings or things like that. Explaining what all that means is kind of what we're going to talk about tonight, and understanding what all that entails. And so that will be something we'll cover, because that's come up a lot this week.
Mm-hmm.
And
so
I guess that's
something
it.
Something you're supposed to talk about.
Yeah,
right?
Well, that's just kind of how I go. Whatever people kept asking me all week, and readings, and I had just a reading today where that was our last question. She's like, I want to understand what is this whole realm about.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure all our callers are very interested in. So we'll definitely get to that, take a couple calls, and
sure.
Give some insight
and
take some more. So, okay. Well, with that, we're going to go ahead and take the first call from the 612 area code. Just a moment, please.
Hi. Hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. Jordana.
Did you say Joanna?
Jordana. With a D.
Jordana.
Like Jordan.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, that's a cool name. I like it.
Thank
Jordana.
You.
Jordana. Oh, that's neat. I bet you
so
people
much.
Get it wrong all the time, huh?
Yes, all the time. Seriously.
I could tell you got it all down. You're like Jordan. I understand. Same with my name. I just go by D sometimes to make it easy. So,
I bet.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it. But let's get to it on your reading. So who are you looking to speak to? Is it a relative or a friend?
Yes, a relative.
A relative? Okay. Okay.
Yes.
Let's see who's here. Okay. The first thing that I saw was a woman, and she's saying she's on their mother's side.
Oh, okay.
She's greeting you with a kiss. By your reaction, you're telling me that sounded like surprising to you.
It did. I know
yeah.
who it is. I think it's
we can steer her away. So that's why before we get going and revving up, we can push her out. Because you have such a short time. In a normal reading, we could go through many people, but I don't want to waste your time. So should we shoo her out and move on and see who else
sure.
is here? Okay. All right, sorry. Well, she'll understand.
No.
let's see who else is here. The other person that I saw when I was kind of going back and forth was on your father's side. Seeing a male on your father's side.
Okay.
But he looks kind of shy, so I'm trying to see what's going on with him. And he's kind of coming in kind of slowly. He's kind of quiet, but he does feel, he's saying something about that he died relatively young. He thinks he was pretty young to have passed. Did you know someone on your father's side who passed?
I think
it's
it was
not,
my
your
grandfather.
Okay. Let's see. But this person
I was really young when he died.
Okay, because he's showing me that he felt like he was pretty relatively young. Is there someone specific? Because if you were pretty young, do you not want to waste time on your grandpa? Who were you looking
for?
No.
I wanted my grandpa, actually.
Oh, okay. Sorry. That was my
assumption.
Sorry about that.
No, it's okay. I mean, he was like
73. Let's see what he has to say. Okay.
Yeah,
he's really, he's kind of funny. He's kind of shy. And shy in the sense that he's just, I feel like that's why the woman won, because she's a little louder. Other words, winning means that sometimes they kind of battle it out and the loudest energy wins. He's talking about, he's showing me his hands, and he's actually putting his hands on your shoulders, which just means that just kind of symbolizes he's protecting you. He's also saying even though he didn't know you, for that very long, in some kind of odd way feels connected. And he keeps pointing to his eyes, and he keeps pointing to his eyes, and then he points to your eyes. So I don't know if you have the similar eyes or if it's like it's symbolic about sight, like meaning like seeing things. You don't know anything about his eyes, do you?
Well, after he died, I remember walking past his house, and I swear I saw him in the car. Like, I was 13, so I wasn't, you know, super young, but I swear I saw him in the car, and I, like, rubbed my eyes, and then he was gone. So I think
that's what he's talking about, the eyes. Okay, yeah, that was him. That's very common, and you got to remember you were young, and which is even more awesome, because when you're young, you're more open. You know what I mean? And grandparents, when you're young, your sight's a little bit more open. When you're 13, it starts to wane. But, like, you know, when you're really little, it's really, really open, because, you know, it's before everyone tells you, before you know better, so to speak. You know what I mean?
Right.
But your grandfather's, he's also talking about his hands again. And he's saying it's not like he built with his hands, but he felt like, he's trying to show me what he did. He's saying he felt like the work he did was kind of tedious. I don't know if you know what he did for a living.
He was an engineer for a while, but then he got into banking.
Okay, because he didn't like the banking. He liked the engineering better, because that's what he means. The tedious is the banking. You know what I mean? He's saying, even though it's not, quote, creative, he thinks it was more interesting and more creative than banking. And he's talking to you about you being, he feels like you have kind of both sides, like you're very practical, but you have a creative side, or like somebody who can see things in a creative way. He's also talking about your father. Do you and your father talk?
We used to be really close up until recently, and now our relationship kind of just fell apart.
Yeah, because that's what he's worried about. He's saying that you understand your father can be very stubborn, so not to take it about you personally. And your father, he's saying, can sometimes be a little bit controlling. So it's like when you don't do it the way he wants it, he gets upset. And that's why your grandfather's coming in trying to tell you to do things the way you should follow what you... It's not like something he would have said in his life, but watching you, he's saying you should do things the way that will make you happy. He says your father just has to let you go. Like, in other words, he has to get over it, and he says he'll... he has to get over, like, the control thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. He says that he says just stick to your guns and just keep letting him know that you're a grown-up and that you have to do what you want to do, and eventually he'll come around. He says it's just the way he's built. He's built very kind of tightly wound. I guess your grandfather wants to say people might have thought he was that way, but he really wasn't. Like, he might have became that way when he was like the banker, but his real way when he was younger, he wasn't like that. So I guess he was
very like carefree, at least with me, and very like loving and kind of shy. But I think growing up with my dad, he was more stern.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah, and he's saying that, you know, that's just like the typical, like, father thing that you do in his generation, and he's kind of seeing how it made his son a little bit too uptight, but he's saying he'll get over it. I guess he doesn't want you to get influenced too much and not do what you want to do in your life. And your grandfather also showing me something about... he's like, for some reason, I don't even know, I forget what area this is in. Where is it? Washington, where the Liberty Bell is?
I think so.
I think so. I know, they're so bad. I don't even know. Because he's talking about something about Washington, D.C., for some reason. I don't know where he grew up, but
he was in the Navy.
Oh, okay.
World War II.
Because he kept showing me something about the government. Okay. All right. That's what he's trying to say. And he's all, because he said, okay, that's what he's trying to say. That's why he was the way he was with his son. He kind of brought some of that kind of way
that mentality.
Of being. Yeah, that mentality. He says it's just how it happens to a lot of men. Are you getting married?
I'm in a relationship, but I feel like he's the man I'm going to marry.
Okay, because your grandfather, like, put a ring on your finger, and he was like, yeah, thumbs up, he's good. He likes him. He's good.
Oh, really?
And he says,
that makes me happy.
I'm sorry to talk over you, but now it makes sense because he's like, this is part of your father's problem, is that he's going to have a hard time with letting another man be more important in your life. You know what I mean? So that's part of his problem,
yes.
too. Yes. He says, but
that's
too bad.
So
that's
cool.
What happens when you grow up. And so he says, that's what happens, and your father's just going to have to get over it. And he will.
I'm so happy he likes him, though, because I told my boyfriend that he reminds me of my grandpa.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah,
because you like that he's, like, got that laid-back, kind of chill.
He does.
A little bit shy, but, you know, but strong. Yeah, no, that's good. Yeah, your grandfather's around a lot. I would just talk to him. He definitely tries to help you as much as he's capable. Yeah, for sure. Oh my gosh,
I will. Thank you so much. That was so cool.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
What an awesome reading. Oh, we definitely all got something out of that reading.
Love
as
grandpas.
Well. Yeah, hanging out with grandpa. That's so great. You know, Adela, it just goes to show you, just like we were talking about, to be able to stop for a minute and visit and hear the concerns that our loved ones have on the other side, and they're watching out and they're influencing and protecting and it's just so nice to be able to hang out with our loved ones.
Yeah,
like
exactly. It's one of the things that I have to say, the mediumship stuff is what reminds me why, you know, I wanted to hone these abilities, is because when you love somebody so much and they come and they just suddenly are out of your life, it's very difficult to handle that. And if, you know, it's very easy for me, people think it's easy for me in my personal life, but it's not. But on not my personal life, it's easier. Oh, they're right here, they're talking to you. But it's not easy for people, and it's not easy even for the spirits, because they're feeling like it's so obvious to them that they quickly forget that what it's like to be on this plane. And to be able to have somebody who can, I can feel the spirit go through me to connect basically to that person, and they start to come back alive to them. That's probably one of the best feelings.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's very, and I understand all the logic. I'm not one of those people who doesn't understand why it's hard to understand and believe that maybe this is actually, quote, real, that there's, that we move on to another plane. And I understand that, which is why I do the confirmations, which is why I say you have to kind of go through your own personal journey to figure out what your belief system is. I can't really, you know, convince you of anything, but we all have to go through our own journey to discover what we believe in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, it's just we gain these bonds of our children and our siblings and our parents and everybody, and life goes by just so fast
that
you know, you want to know that there's still a
connection is what rules us. Heart love is what we really care about when you strip everything else down.
Thank you for that. Okay. All right. Well, okay then. We're going to go and move on over to the 941 area code now. Just a moment, please. There we go.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, my name is Carla. It's great.
Hi, Carla. And
hi.
Who are you looking, a relative or a friend to speak to?
A relative.
A relative. Okay. So like you, I don't know if you heard the last caller, but like the last caller, if somebody comes in that is kind of like, yeah, I kind of know them, but they're not exactly, you know, we can always boot them. So we don't have to waste the time. And then you can, and you know, we'll keep going. Okay? So let's see who's here. Mm-hmm. there's few people for you, huh? Okay. All right, well, I see two, so let me see which one of these are interesting to you. I actually see a male who's on your father's side, and he seems pretty persistent, and there's kind of a more quiet person on your mother's side, kind of waving more quietly. Which
male or female?
Sorry. On your mother's side, it's a female. On your father's side, it's a male.
Let's see what the impatient one wants.
Okay.
The one that you said was impatient.
Okay.
I'm not sure
who
it could be, but...
Okay, on the father's side?
Yeah.
Yeah, on the father's side, he's just kind of, kind of getting all, like, funny. He's making smiley faces. He's saying that he's on your father's side. I'm not quite sure. He looks kind of relatively young. Did your father have a brother that passed?
I did.
You had a brother. Okay.
Yeah, and he comes to me in visions.
Okay. Because I kept hearing
now.
Brother. Okay.
So he would be like in his 40s now.
Okay, that's exactly what he looks like. That makes sense. And also it doesn't matter, weirdly enough, it could be like 2 years later and a baby spirit could look 20 because of the time. So their spirits evolve, in other words, really fast. Anyway, he looked to me. He's funny because we can't confirm anything, so we'll just talk to him briefly and then we'll flip back over and see who else is there. Mm-hmm. Unless this isn't the was this the one you were looking for to talk to?
No, but he died at birth. Actually, he died on my mother's birthday at the same time my mother was born.
Oh, wow.
Ain't that weird?
That's insane.
I know there has to be a meaning of that, but...
He has not came
back yet. He has not reincarnated back yet. I know that.
Yeah, he's talking about, he just feels like... You know, one of his jobs is to kind of stick around you and kind of be there for you. And so he's really excited that you've seen him all this time. So he just kind of wanted to confirm, you know, basically.
Okay.
Those times that you feel like you've seen him, that's been him. And that is kind of was his main appearance for tonight. And he's also... describing, I was just talking about this actually earlier in a reading today about why sometimes baby spirits come in and they leave. Sometimes they come in, they know that they're going to come in and not be there for very long, and they kind of volunteer to do this, to kind of just teach a lesson and do something that that's supposed to help the person they're coming through. So it's not like he didn't know this would happen. It's something to do with helping your mom, something to do with helping cleanse something with your mother.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think it worked.
Yeah, because your mom looks pretty angry, yeah. Is your mom alive?
Yes, she is.
Okay. All right, because I just want to see, let me ask you this before I see this woman, because this woman is probably your grandmother. Who are you looking to talk to?
My grandmother more.
Your mom's mom?
Mm-hmm.
Or your dad's mom? Okay. Okay. Then cool.
Okay. But I would think that the one that's waiting could be my grandma.
I feel like this is your mom's mom. So let's let her. She's more quiet. So let her in. She's saying that she was being quiet because we'll get confirmations, because she knew it was important for you to connect to your brother, you know, so she wanted that to happen. This woman, when she comes in, when she's telling me about her passing to do a confirmation, she's saying how she passed was, she's saying that it wasn't like really fast. She knew it was coming. She's talking about, I just want to write down. She keeps talking about having pains. It's almost like if you have pains in your kidneys or something, her lower self, her lower body, having a lot of pains. And then she's talking about Well, she's showing me two images. She's showing me about having pains, and then she's showing me like almost like someone who just slips away. Do you know how she died?
Yeah, she had a lot of strokes, and she had cancer and everything, and she gave up and stopped eating, and I think on the sixth day, on Christmas Eve, she died.
Oh, that's why
she murdered herself. Yeah.
Yeah, because the pains I feel like in my lower, maybe that's what it is. It's like stomach pains. Like maybe she starved
herself.
She had
colon cancer.
Oh, and her. Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, and she had that colostomy and all that, and a hernia
yeah,
and all that.
She had a lot of problems.
That,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She wants to explain. She's like, you know, at some point, there's just no point. That's how she felt.
Mm-hmm.
She just wanted to slip away. She just wanted to disappear.
Mm-hmm.
She just wanted to slip away. And she says she hopes that you understand that.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, you don't want it. She's saying, well, animals understand. You know, when your body's done, it's done. And that's how she felt. She felt like she was being almost like an animal, you know, where you just kind of allow yourself to pass on. And that's
mm-hmm.
what she wanted to do. So she hopes you understand that. She wasn't
mm-hmm.
meaning to cause any pain to anybody. She mostly came in to talk about your mom, and she said that's like
okay.
a loaded subject. She says your mom is just extremely difficult. She's always been difficult to you. And she's talking about not to feel guilty about anything, like if you're having a hard time being around her, if you feel like you can't help her, not to feel guilty about that, and that
mm-hmm.
your mom's making it harder for herself. Because she's, is your mom like, does she have like a cane or something?
She, sometimes she can't barely walk.
Okay.
Sometimes she can't barely walk, and I think she was supposed to cross over, but she binded herself here a bit.
Your mom has such a fear of death. That's pretty much like what you're saying. So it's part of what's
mm-hmm.
keeping her here. Your grandmother says the more you kind of just keep cutting the cords and letting her go. You know what I mean by cutting
mm-hmm.
cords? Yeah, okay,
yep.
Figured by the way you're talking. you seem pretty knowledgeable. She says if you start cutting cords, it's going to help your mom go. And your grandmother
says,
believe
me. Should I cut my mother's cord?
You have to cut your
cord. I cut her cord. I cut mine with her all the time, but even though we don't communicate,
mm-hmm.
I still, you know, cut everybody's cords from me.
She's saying it's more like cutting the cords for her. You know, maybe cutting the cords to this place for her. Because she's not connecting to you. And your grandmother's acknowledging, I wouldn't even know, she goes, you know more about this stuff than she does. But she's learned some stuff being on the other side. She says her energy is just very connected to this place. And she won't let it go out of fear. She goes, so the best thing you could do is keep sending, like letting, like kind of unbinding her out of fear, letting her out of
mm-hmm.
the fear, because that's what's
mm-hmm.
keeping her here. And she says, if you have to not, she says, if you can't handle the communication and things, not to feel guilty about that. And your grandmother also acknowledges some of your mother. She says, you know, she goes, I was an okay mother. Your grandmother says, she goes, so I can't take it all the blame onto me. She goes, because some of your mom's decisions are her own. She said, but, you know, maybe there was some other things she could have done better, but your mom just has a lot of bitterness, you know, inside her that has nothing to do with you. But that's what she means
mm-hmm.
by the cord.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
and so my, I think
she
you kind
of
know that.
Mental illness too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, she's totally looks ornery, and part of her looks kind of halfway here and halfway there, you know what I mean? So,
my mother's just...
You know, it's not much time.
Here sometimes, yeah, and, you
mm-hmm.
know, she's very delusional, but then she's very psychic, so she
That's
sees
what I was about
it, you know,
to tell you, she's
side.
Seeing real stuff, yeah, she's not being delusional.
Yeah.
The best way to
oh,
deal
I know
with
that, but,
people,
but also
yeah.
then she doesn't even know who I am.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's because when
yeah.
you get in between the worlds, it gets totally confusing. You know what I mean? You're like, where
mm-hmm.
am I? And so that the best thing you could do for her is to talk to her like it's all normal when she does talk about seeing people. Just go, oh, yeah, I saw them. And just talk about it like...
Oh, she
like,
knows. She knows
yeah.
that I can see and all that. So
yeah, so that's...
But
so that,
we just don't talk anymore.
You can't quite help her. Yeah, she's very difficult.
Yeah.
I mean, your grandmother's saying she's trying to pull her cord over there. You know what I mean? She's
mm-hmm.
trying to get her to come cross over. So yeah, that's a tough one on your hands.
Okay. Well, Carla,
you're
doing
the right
thing. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay. Well, thank you.
That helps him, gives you some insight, sweetie.
I'll explain the cord thing because
okay.
I'm sure that's.
Yes. Thank you, so much for
thank
sharing.
You, Carla. Yeah, she's a little more versed in the average person. So the cords is like, which is good for her because it makes her understanding all this stuff. But the cords are, we all when we make attachments. Like you were just saying, bond when
mm-hmm.
you bond with people. And you bond with your family and you bond with your friends, you create like almost energy like cords. So it's that same, it's like an umbilical cord that you have from the baby to the mother. So they're kind of like an energy cord. So let's say you break up with somebody and you're like, I don't know why, but it's like they always sense when I'm thinking about them and they call me.
Mm.
Or I don't know why, it seems like as soon as I get happy, they want to come back into my life and, you know, screw things up. Or I don't know why, but I have a feeling that there's something going on with my child and I need to call them right now. You know, that's the energy cord. When you want to detach from somebody and you're like, I don't really want to deal with this person, I don't want to feel them anymore, they're too much coming into my mind a lot, you kind of do a spiritual or energy cutting of the cords and you kind of call on healers do them, a lot of healers do them, or you can do it yourself, like she's well versed on how to do that, and you can call on like your guides and your angels to help you cut, say, look, I don't want to feel this person anymore, I got to cut my cord with them, I got to, basically that's the term cutting ties,
mm-hmm.
cutting ties,
right,
yeah.
Yeah.
So when somebody, like her mother, she's cut the cord from her and her mother. A lot of times when people are sick and they're dying, they don't want to leave this place because they feel your energy and your energy is pulling on their cord to stay here.
Wow.
So that's why people say, I just left the room and they died, or I just was just
yes.
about to walk in and they died. And that's because they're like, your cord's too strong. It's like it's tethering me here.
Mm.
Every time I want to float away, it's like an astronaut. You pull on that cord and pull me back to the spaceship. I want to leave.
Yeah.
So when you're not here, the cord isn't as strong. I can float off. Well, her mom has got this fear of death, so she's kind of taken her cords and staked them into the ground, and like, I'm not leaving. That's why some people are like, I can't believe it. No matter what this person's going through, they don't seem to want to leave this place.
Yeah. They just linger.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's cut her cord between her and her mom, but she could help her mom by cutting the cord for her mom.
Oh, you can actually do that.
Yeah, well, especially because her mom's kind of not all the way there.
Sure, just help
mm-hmm.
them along.
Help them along.
Yeah,
that's the cord
intent.
Thing.
Yeah.
A lot of healers do cutting the cords. I've helped people cut the cords, but when you cut cords with someone, you definitely want to do it gradually because it sounds weird. But you could cut a very, like, say you have a boyfriend and you're like, I'm breaking up, I'm cutting cords, and you cut them too abrasively, they'll boomerang right back into your life. So you got to be, like, gradual about it. Yeah. Yeah, and you're like, oh, man, they came right back into my life. Yeah.
Yeah, here I have to go work on myself again.
Yeah, so that's, yeah, so exactly. So that's the term, like, cutting ties.
I see.
When
yeah.
people say, I want to cut ties, because we create ties whenever we have relationships, friendships or anything, we start to create these little tentacles. I was just talking about this with you earlier about the movie Avatar. So in the movie Avatar, a lot of people have seen it, all these movies, and anybody who knows me knows I love to bring up movies and TV shows because they all are just watered-down versions of what's based off of real spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
So the movie Avatar, they're blue people, and they have this their long hair, which they're blue, you know, the hair, the power is in their hair, which is very spiritual, about the belief that our hair are like our tentacles, our power, and that they take their hair and the tentacles come out of their hair and they connect to the other person, and that's what bonds them in a relationship. And they say, okay, now you're bonded for life with this person because we have now exchanged our cords.
Yeah.
That's connecting cords.
Connecting
so
cords.
People can like go, oh, that sounds so weird, but they'll go watch Avatar and accept it. Right? And there's so many things about that movie that's all very, very spiritual. So, and like Star Wars and The Matrix, and you can, the list goes on and on. So that's cutting cords. So everybody out there, when I was didn't want to feel like I was just having a private conversation with her, I wanted people to understand what that meant.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know in the healing work, they even take their fingers like scissors.
Yes.
And with the intention, they say
cutting
cords.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, great. Thank
you
so much. All right. Well, okay, we're going to go on now over to the 207 area code. Hold on.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello. Hi, my name is Lori, and hi. I'd like to connect with a relative.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, let's see who's here. Mm-hmm. Okay, so like I said before, if there's somebody who comes in that you don't feel like it's the person you want to talk to, we can always... ask them to leave. Is that okay?
Okay. Okay, that's fine.
Okay.
Yes.
The first person that pops up, so we'll see if this is okay with you. Looks like a woman. She's on your mother's side. She seems kind of insistent, but it doesn't mean you have to talk to her. She's kind of like pausing. It's kind of funny, like she's pausing for like approval almost. She's acting kind of nurturing. I can't tell if this is a grandmother or like a mother figure. And she looks, she doesn't look that old, at least unless this is the way she's showing me her. Need you to just respond like yes or no, if that makes sense to you or not.
Yes, that makes sense to me, yes.
Okay, is your mother passed?
No.
Okay, so this would be more like a grandmother.
Yes.
Is that somebody you would want to talk to? Or, like, should we continue, or was there someone else you were hoping for?
Well, there's someone else I was hoping for. I want to see if they come through.
Okay, because this is a very short time, so I don't want to start talking to your grandmother. So why don't you just tell me who you're looking for? Yeah. Who are you looking to talk to?
Well, I wanted to speak to my father.
Okay. So sorry, Grandma, we're going to have to say goodbye. All right, let's see if we can see if on your father's side. All right, so there's, it's kind of funny because this woman definitely was more loud. let me see, there's a male saying he's on your father's side, but we have to get confirmation. And he's kind of way more casual about everything, almost like he's surprised he would.
Well, you know, in that case, maybe I should speak to my grandmother because maybe she has something important to tell me.
Are you sure? Well, now,
yes.
It's okay. Well, we already,
yes.
You want to talk to your grandmother? Okay. All right.
Yes, yes.
So we're going to flip back to your grandmother. Okay.
Okay.
All right, let's make sure it's her. Well, it's not always because people have important. It's just the loudest wins. You know what I mean? And she's a little louder. Yeah, and he's a little shyer, almost like he's not used to this, like he wouldn't go to someone like me. So he's just being a little more shy. So it doesn't necessarily mean he doesn't have something to say too, you know. Your grandmother, let's make sure it's your grandmother. She's talking about, she's saying she's sorry. She just was excited. She just was excited to see you. So you have to remember, they're going to pop in because they're excited. So it doesn't always necessarily mean they have something important to say. So are you sure you want to continue with her? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. She, let's see if she can do a confirmation. When she talks about her passing, she's like kind of going like, it's no big deal. I passed. Like, to her, she felt like she lived pretty well. Like, she's not upset about the age she died. She said, I lived a pretty okay life. She says she always loved to stick around, but she's not feeling like, you know, I'm not like 20, you know, when I die.
Yeah.
She's very kind of practical in a way, you know. She's also, when she shows me how she died, I'm trying to get her to talk about it anyway. She keeps showing me that saying that she's saying something about going in and out of the hospital.
Yes.
She's talking about something about them getting it wrong. She goes, they got it wrong.
She had a stroke, and then she had a series of strokes after the first one. She was coming back from the first one, and then she had a series of strokes, and she lived a few more years, and then she died. So I don't know if they got it wrong.
Oh, okay. Did
they treat her right?
Okay, because
yeah.
She feels like they just treated her like whatever, no big deal. I mean, that's her take on it. She feels like if they didn't treat her like some old lady, like whatever, maybe she could have had a better life. Like, she just feels like they didn't pay attention. And she says it's just her pet peeve, her, like, she's saying just my pet peeve about how they treat elderly. But that's just her subject matter. She's saying other than that, she's okay with, that she's passed. She's also saying something about being worried. She's worried about you for some reason. She's pointing
yes.
to you. So I'm worried about
yes.
you. Says, what do you do?
Yeah.
You need to take better care. She's worried about you. Are you having a hard time? Says you're having
yes,
a hard
I am.
Time.
Yes, I
says
am.
They're not. People aren't taking you seriously when you're trying. Like, almost, she says that no one's checking up on you or they're not
That's right.
realizing that you're
I
having
have,
a hard time.
I tried to get help. I'm having a hard time with my marriage. I ended up in a woman's shelter, and they didn't take me seriously, and they sent me home.
Okay. Yes, that's why she's worried about you, and they're not saying, okay. She says that you have to go and get help from, if you call somebody else, that's only almost like a hotline or something, and she says that you have to do it again. She goes, sometimes you have to do it a few times so that they take you seriously. She says she takes you seriously. She knows she doesn't want to air all your personal laundry, she says, but she knows what's going on. And she says you have
okay.
to tell them again. She says sometimes you just get people who are not kind-hearted, but doesn't mean everybody,
yeah.
okay? She says if you do it again, then you will be able to go where you need to go. She says as soon as possible, though, as soon as you can. She's worried about you.
I did call a hotline. I did speak to a few people. I'm not in an area that I'm from, and I'm having a hard time up here.
Yeah, yeah. She says if you call them and then she says to just tell them that you just need somewhere temporarily. I don't know why, but she's showing me you going on a train to another location, almost like you
okay.
can go somewhere else. She says it's time. She just says it's time. She keeps clicking on her watch like it's time. Time to go.
Okay. Yeah, I know it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, this time will take. But she says it needs to be as soon. And she says you almost sometimes have to be very insistent. She says you were a little bit too, like, careful, like not, you know, pushy enough. She was sometimes pushy. Sometimes you have to be pushy. And
well, there was a woman, yeah.
Mm-hmm,
there
the
was
woman
somebody
that wanted
there.
To
No, there was a woman. There was one that wanted to help, but there was one that was working against me for some reason, just took a dislike to me and made it very difficult.
Yeah, it's just that's the way the system is. Sometimes people do things
yeah.
on personal. So you just have to go with the person who's trying to help you. Just ignore the, you know, just keep pushing. It's almost like the squeaky wheel gets the oil. But your grandmother
yeah.
says that this, somehow they're going to help you, and then they'll help you get on a train somewhere else. She goes, you just need to get on a train. It's not. She says, a train ride away. And that you'll go
okay.
to another location. Maybe that's why she
okay.
wanted to come in.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, Lori, thank you so much. Thank you so much. And hang on to Grandma's words. It's really something.
I
else.
Will.
Thank you for sharing
I will.
That. Thank you.
There, yeah,
thank
the,
you.
The end
thank
of the
you.
Tunnel. Yeah,
she, yeah. Isn't that amazing? Boy, did that turn out to be an important.
Yeah, that's kind of more about. What I like the readings for people to know that the medium readings are for. The benefit of medium readings, and then we'll take a minute to talk about some of the stuff we were going to talk about,
yes.
Is that what, unlike psychic readings. So psychic readings, I can, intuitive readings, I can talk about you and see what I see and guide you through. And that can be just as helpful. The medium readings are kind of more about when those who have died want to do things for you that they maybe didn't do for you in life.
Mm-hmm.
So their stress to want to help you isn't just coming from, oh, let me just help you get this job or whatever. Their stress to want to help you is like, I have to kind of live out, quote, a karma or something
yeah.
I didn't do for you when I was alive. So now I see how it's affected your whole life, because I'm over here and I've seen the domino effect. Oh, my gosh, I had no idea that when I did this to you when you were 10, that this led you to this, this led you to that, that led you to this. Oh, my gosh, I need to do something
that
to kind of help reverse this. Yeah,
sure, it helps them to grow as well,
and
right?
It helps them to grow. So it helps them to grow, but it helps us to grow and
have that higher help.
So since they have a bird's eye view, they can skip through time, and she can show her, like, look, there is hope. Don't give up. You can get the help you need, because I'm seeing it. I can see. And when you get the message from your grandmother, and your grandmother can tell you or your mother how they died, and they can give you all these confirmations, and then they come into confirmations with a lot of people, and this is like one of the messages I want to give out, is that when mediums are giving you messages about the watch and the this, and they're telling you things, it's not supposed to be just to show off that I saw that stuff.
Sure.
It's to get your attention. Okay, did I get your attention? I am talking to your grandmother, or I am talking to your father or your mother or whoever, and now they can help you. So
yeah.
Don't listen to me, listen to them, because they have a bird's eye view. So the only point of getting the confirmations is so that you can get a message to help you in your life, and that they then feel so relieved that they were able to do this. Imagine being invisible and watching your loved one about to get into a car that's unsafe or go get in a relationship where they know the person's bad for you, and you're yelling at them and doing all these things, and they can't hear you, so they start flicking your lights.
Sure.
And they start sending messages through people, like a stranger walks up to you and says something like, oh, that sounds weird. That sounds like something my grandmother would say.
Yeah.
They're like, yes, because that is your grandmother trying to let you know I'm here and I'm trying to warn you don't go on that date.
They put thoughts in other people's heads.
Yes.
Huh?
I had my grandfather came to me through when I was teaching a class to warn me not to do something, not to trust some certain person. And I was like gonna just, you know, be okay with that person and be friends. And then all of a sudden, my grandfather, who never comes through. And the reason why it got my attention, even for me, was because I was like, my grandfather doesn't come through to people. He doesn't mm-hmm. like to. He came through just to tell me that. I better listen. So I listened, and he turned out to be right.
Mm.
So that brings me to explaining to people how it works. So on the other side, there's your guides. Guides... people get all caught up in the whole guide thing. We've talked about that before. The guides are either spirits or human beings on this planet and then die, and they kind of evolve and elevate, and then they can have more of evolved state, and they can guide you. Then there's guardian angels. Guardian angels are the ones that got your back. You know, oh my gosh, I was in a car crash and somehow my guardian angel must have been there because I came out of it, unscathed. And then there's archangels. And archangels are the very high, high beings like St. Michael, who I work with a lot, Gabriel, Raphael, who's the healing angel. And they're very high beings. One of the things that the archangels want you to know is that they're there to help you in very tight, horrible positions, like big things, like you feel like something is harassing you spiritually, St. Michael will come in. You feel like you need to be healed, you need help with healing, Raphael will come in. But they're not the ones that are going to help you find your car keys or something like that. So if you're going, St. Michael, help me find my car keys, he wants people to know that's not my thing, you know. I have to, like, protect this world. You know, that's why we have, like, you know, guides and things like that to help you with that. So that's kind of how the beings work. And it's not an exact science. I'm not somebody who believes in you have seven this and eight that, and this is exactly how it is. This is just what I've come to understand. If you want help in your everyday life, you're going to have a much better time talking to your guides and talking to your guardian angels. And they work, like we've talked about before, in a ball of unison together to work in one ball of light. And then they separate out for us to understand. If you need help in major things in life, like I need serious life changes and I need major protection, like for the lady who we just talked to, I would call on St. Michael for her to protect her and help guide her through what she needs to do. As far as explaining to people about the bumps in the night, so like if you hear little cracks and creaks and somebody who's kind of knocking on your door or the lights flickering, which is the favorite way for spirits to do. They love to mess with electrical currents because electrical currents are the easiest way because all they are is electrical currents. So all they got to do is kind of reach over there and it send your, you know, lights flickering. They love to do that. It's fun for them. Little things like that are probably going to be your relatives. So I would like look in and go, hey, is that, you know, I would talk. So when they are doing that, you say, is that my, hey, Grandma, is that you? And just talk to her like she's there. If things are flying off the shelf and banging and being aggressive, your relatives are not doing that. So I want everybody to know, your relatives don't want to scare you. They can feel if you get scared. So I've had people say, well, my grandmother showed up in front of my bed, and then she went away, and I don't know why, but... I did jump and get startled, and now she never comes back. Well, she feels bad. She scared you. She doesn't want to scare you anymore. So you have to say to her, hey, Grandma, I'm not scared. I really liked it when you did that. But things that are aggressive are not usually going to be things that are from your relatives. So I usually see that as things that are trying to mess with you or they have the wrong location or they're lost souls. Lost souls are spirits that died and don't realize they're dead. So time loops. So let's say they got murdered and the last thing they remembered was the murdered, i.e. if you ever saw Sixth Sense, and when the little kid is seeing people talking to him like he's the person, like he's not him. They're like talking to him going, hey, why didn't you get my groceries today? And he's looking at him like, what are you talking about? You know, to the spirit is talking to them because that's, they don't realize they're dead.
Now, what can people do, or are there people who really can help them out of that loop?
Out of that loop. One of the people that does that is mediums. I do that for lost souls. Any medium can help somebody come out of that loop.
So when you see on television, they say, just tell them to go to the light.
When you see them on television, you say, get out. Don't try to help them through the light. It's not your job.
Right.
What you do is you call in St. Michael. You say, get out. You don't say, hey, I know you might be lost. I'm sorry. No. You just say, out. Get out. And that energy shoos them out.
And what happens to their energy, though, as far as helping them along?
Well, or? The lost souls, that's why I say call on St. Michael. If you have another belief system, that's fine. If you say call on anybody who can help them cross over. Say, I don't know what your problem is. You might be lost. I need, St. Michael, whoever you believe in, to call in to take you out, but you can't be in here.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. So that's kind of more out of your realm where you're going to have to need help for something to pull it out. If it's a spirit, and believe it or not, some spirits just like to mess with you. They just think it's funny. They might be bored. They aren't very happy about being dead. They know exactly what they're doing. So imagine pranksters. Imagine little mischievous kids who go, aha, we're invisible, and if we move like things, they freak out. Isn't that funny? Let's just keep doing that. They're freaking out. Oh, look at them. They're freaking out. Oh, look, and they just keep doing it.
Right.
So the more attention you're giving it, they're going, wow, well, we're getting a lot of attention. We'll just keep doing this. It's really freaking them out. People think that there's people who are trying to, like, sit there and drink a coffee or moving their furniture for a reason. No, sometimes they're doing it on purpose to mess with you. And sometimes they are lost souls who just don't realize they're dead. Sometimes they realize they're dead and they just are claiming your space. So I always, again, like to use movies like in the or TV shows, like in the TV show True Blood, when they say get out, you're no longer welcome to the vampire, which if everybody would pay attention, vampires are dead. So that's what it's based off of, dead.
Yeah.
And they say, okay, now you're welcome, and they call them in. So it's the same idea. If you're having a lot of craziness going on in your house, you can stop it by demanding it out. When you sage your house, you burn incense at the same time, because you sage is to wipe out all the negative and the incense is to bring in all the good. If you just sage, it's just going to be comet cleaner. It just cleans everything you put into your house out. So you sage and you, what I do is I hold sage and I hold an incense at the same time and I say, okay, anything negative is no longer here. I just clean, I do regular cleanings. And all the positive energy of light, I welcome in my guardians, my angels of light, St. Michael, to stand guard and guard this space. And that's something you should probably do if you're a spiritual person, especially on a continuous basis.
Right. And so what would you tell people who are just starting to open up and be open-minded about this whole realm? And,
mm-hmm.
and seeing your validation certainly gets their excitement to look into it more. But they're afraid of opening up a can of worms or something.
Well, that's why I'm saying I never tell anybody to open up anything unless you're putting on protection. So protection means you say, I'm willing to understand, is there some things like this that exist? I'm not sure. I'm kind of opening myself up to it. And then at the same breath you say, but only of those in the light.
And if you put those boundaries up, it does
yes.
work.
Yes, because okay. I don't know how many people that I talk to that say I started opening myself up and weird things are happening. Have you been using protection? No. Okay, well, you can't just open up without protection. I call in, and when I say calling in the light, if you're somebody who's opening up to this stuff, you say it when you wake up. I'm asking for the golden light of protection. Golden light is just God's light, God's source, true source. I'm calling for the golden light of protection and my guardians and everyone to protect me in the morning. And you say it before you go to sleep. And you say it through the day if you happen to feel something funny during the day and you do it all. And if you're going to open yourself up to this, this is what you do. If you start reading tarot cards, if you start reading up on this stuff, anything you're going to do that's going to open yourself up to it, you ask for protection. Protection, protection, protection is my motto.
Right.
One of the things I did when I first started doing this when I was young and I didn't know what I was doing is I had no protection. And all of a sudden I started feeling like a dark cloud around me and I didn't understand it. So I shut my gifts down until later I understood how to handle opening gifts and protect.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense. Just as if it was where there were solid people in here, you ask them to leave, you have to
it's
say
just
it with
like,
the same
yeah,
confidence.
Exactly. If someone were to walk in your house, you don't say, oh, excuse me. Oh, it's nice to meet you, but I'm not quite sure if you should be in my house. You say, "What the? Get out!"
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Very good.
Same thing.
Yeah, because it'd be a shame to shut this down when we can see there's so many beautiful loved ones on the other side waiting to communicate. And
there's no reason to shut anything down if you have protection. It's just like you're going to walk outside your house. You're never going to not walk outside your house. You know how to protect yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same thing. You're never going to not invite people to come visit your house as long as you're using your discretion and protection. The problem is with the people on the other side is they don't know, they can't tell the difference between who's positive and negative. And what I'm telling you, and sometimes people just assume it's their parents or it's their relatives that are doing this havoc. And I'm like, no, relatives don't make you feel that uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Great. Well, that's wonderful.
They're just trying to connect. They're just trying to hope that you know it's them. They're not going to try and scare you. So people, if you go to somebody and they say, oh, it's your grandmother that's banging your pots, I wouldn't quite believe that because grandma doesn't want to freak you out. She just
right.
wants to come around and say, hey, how you doing? I'm grandma. I care about you.
Right.
And obviously any little thing might freak you out. A light flickering might freak you out. But
you
that
get
is,
startled.
You get startled. But that's a much... The other way that your relatives are trying to get your attention is like they try to get messages through other people. Someone might say something to you that sounds very similar to what they would say, or they put on a song. How it works is they put their name in your mind, so you're like, oh, I'm thinking about my mom, and all of a sudden the song comes on. You're like, oh, how funny is that? That song came on. They have access to where things are happening before they happen, so they're like, oh, that song's about to come on. And they put their thing in, you know, they whisper their name in your ear. You think about them, the song comes on, and then you go, oh, that, and then you think about them some more. And they're like, yes, it's me. I'm trying to get your attention. But they're not going to bang you over the head with it.
Yeah,
they don't
really
want to scare you.
Really helpful.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I hope that made sense.
Oh, yes. Definitely
okay.
So. Definitely so. And, you know, we're going to start doing this where we can have people email in to if they have just general questions about the process, and we will choose some things for the episodes to bring up their questions, not personal things, but just on how the process works. So
right.
If they're curious about those things.
Right.
Yeah. So with that, shall we take another call?
Sure, we can take another call.
Okay. All right, then. Well, looks like we've got a local one here next, 818 area code. So
yay.
Hold on just a moment here. Let's see who we've got.
Hi, my name is Brittany. How are you?
Hi, Whitney. How are you? Did you say
Brittany?
Brittany, I believe.
Brittany,
like Brittany.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like Brittany. That's funny. I probably have to say that all the time. Okay, so who are you looking to talk to?
I'd like to speak with a relative.
Okay. And just for time's sake, as we're seeing, a lot of people are wanting to come in. Which relative are you looking to talk to?
My brother.
Your brother? Okay. So let's see. Let's see who's here, okay?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. yeah, there's a few people. I see a grandma. I think it's a grandmother. Well, there's a woman on your mother's side.
Yeah,
she's trying to be respectful. I see a young guy because he looks pretty young, too young to die, and he's kind of sneaking in, waving. So I'm gonna let him step forward. Your grandmother definitely wanted to shout out and let you know she's here, though. That's definitely for sure. The young man, he's talking about that he died very young. He kept showing me something. He kept showing me something like either it's skateboarding or him moving very fast, like somebody who liked adrenaline type of stuff. He keeps talking about being outside, liking the outside.
Yeah, he was a car.
What'd you say you got cut off?
Oh, he was in a car when he was
killed.
He's
in a car. Okay, because he keeps talking about, going very fast. The car crash, though, he doesn't feel like was his fault. He keeps waving his hand saying, it wasn't my fault, but he kind of at the same time says, but I could have been more careful, if that makes sense. Like almost like it wasn't totally his fault, but he does feel like he wasn't exactly the most careful driver. Because he's talking about being too cocky or something. Did they discover, I know they can do that in accidents. Did they discover whose fault it was, so to speak?
Well, he wasn't in an accident. Someone actually shot him in his car.
Oh, that's why he's saying it wasn't his fault. Okay, got it. Okay. Sorry about that. Okay, because why does he keep talking about, though, then liking adrenaline? Because he keeps talking about like living on like an adrenaline rush. Do you know what he means by that?
I can't put two and two together right now.
Okay, let me see if he can explain it. And then when he was talking about it not being his fault, kind of confused on that, so let me ask him to explain. I mean, Go ahead.
No, I didn't know what he's talking about there. He was at the wrong place at the wrong time, so that's what he means by it wasn't his fault.
Okay. But he feels like he was careless, like maybe he shouldn't have been in around these people or something like that. Is that what he means? Because he keeps talking about adrenaline. He keeps referring to the adrenaline rush, so I want him to explain, because he at first kept showing me him like on a skateboard and speeding around. Was he wasn't doing anything, right, with these people?
No, he's in a car.
I mean, he wasn't partying with them. Going to a party or something?
Yeah, he was on his way to a party, and then he was with his best friend in the car, and then someone just kind of came.
It's just because I just kind of, I guess he keeps talking about, I mean, I don't know if you know about this, but it's almost like he was doing something to speed himself up. Like he just was partying. I don't know if he was drinking or doing drugs or... But it was definitely something that was speeding him up. And that's what he means by he was around the wrong people. He was careless. But he says that's just being young, you know, and stupid. That's how he feels about it. He also doesn't blame his friend. He doesn't put any blame on his friend. I guess that's important to him. Do people blame his friend or something? Because he's saying that everyone needs to know I don't blame him.
He blames himself. He can't get over it. He's very depressed, and he just, he really loves
because
that brother.
Because it has to do with some, I really kind of, keeps showing me something to do with drugs or something like that, but it's not like your brother was deep involved in anything. He was just like along for the party and the ride, and he did do some things sometimes, but he wasn't heavily, you know what I mean? It was like more like recreational. That's why the friend can't get over it, because your brother was just kind of playing around, you know, whereas he was involved with some stuff, his friend.
Oh, that's
you understand?
Why. He to me that. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh.
He was involved with some stuff. He's showing me exchanges going on, and your brother is just like, oh, we're going to a party, whatever, okay, I'll do a little bit of this and a little bit of that, but no big deal. You know, I'm just partying. Just young, and that's why he said, I'm young, being stupid, experimenting like most of us do. He didn't realize how deep his friend was involved with some stuff. He said, I didn't know. He goes, if I knew he was that deeply involved, I wouldn't be around him like that. Because he said, I'm not stupid. He's like, I'm not dumb. So he says, that's why he feels depressed, because he says he knows he got him around some stuff that was heavier than he told him. He says, but he doesn't blame him. He doesn't blame his friend, because he says, you know, my friend was just doing what he needed to do. And he's like, I don't blame it on him. He says, I just blame, you know, I just know that's just life. You know, things are not fair. Your brother has like a very, the way he shows me him is very kind of free spirit almost, like happy-go-lucky. For the most part, he just tried to do his thing and keep people, like he didn't want to try to judge people and leave people alone, and that's kind of how he like tried to be.
Right.
So the sad part is that he looks like he was on his way to try to, he's talking about he wanted to really make something of himself. Like he had a lot of dreams and aspirations and a lot of ambition and a lot of drive, and that's why it's, and very handsome. And a lot of charm. So he had a lot going for him.
I think he would have been out here. I feel like he would have been out here in California with me.
That's kind of like what he was showing me is like somebody who would have liked to get in the entertainment business or do something like that. He just, you know, he had a lot of dreams. But, you know, he says this is why he's sad, because... he says, it's just amazing how you just don't pay attention to something. And he goes, maybe his intuition should have told him, you know, because he knew there was something different about his friend, but he didn't really pay attention. So anyway, he just regrets that part. He says to you, pay attention to your intuition. He says, you're intuitive, but you don't listen to it.
Really? I feel like I am listening to it.
He says you don't trust it. You kind of doubt it. You think too much. You think too much all the time. He says, just learn from him that your intuition can kind of guide you, save you. And he's also saying something. Does somebody have a birthday in your family? Because he's singing happy birthday.
Yeah, there's a couple birthdays.
Are they coming up or do they pass?
One is coming up, one just passed.
Who's the one that just passed? Because he's dancing and singing happy birthday.
That was my aunt.
I don't feel like it. Who's the other one that's coming up?
My grandmother that passed away, that was being very respectful. Her birthday.
Okay, that's about who he's talking about. Yeah, that feels more right.
Yeah.
That feels more right. Yeah, they're because they're hanging out there together. That he said, you know, to be honest, that's how I knew I passed when I saw her. Did she die after him or before? She died before him, right?
Yeah, she got breast cancer before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he's like, that's how I knew. And he's saying something to you about a dog, something about getting a dog.
Yeah, I was thinking about
getting a dog.
My good friend, her dog just passed, and I really love him.
Because he's saying something about it would be good for you to get a dog. I don't know why he wants you to get a dog. I guess he feels like it'll keep you company or something about. And then one last thing he says, not to give up faith on what you're pursuing, and something about like don't make any rash decisions about changes. Like, I don't know, something you're pursuing, he says don't change out of what you want to do or something like that. I don't know what that means to you, but it's almost like
he says, yeah.
He says just keep following your dreams and don't let people discourage you.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. Okay. Oh, wow, Brittany.
Okay, well, thank you so much. We have to move on to the next caller, but thank you so much, because that really shows a lot of people who haven't even been read that these confirmations show that life continues, that your brother's watching out for you, and that they have feelings on the other side. They're sad about this, but they can dance and celebrate grandma's birthday and that they're over there doing their thing too, while at the same time keeping an eye on us. And it's really,
well, yeah, and importantly, like, I think his whole thing was about his dreams, and he wanted to make sure she did not do her dreams, you know, because that's a big thing I hear a lot too, is that people want to help you make sure you pursue something you love.
Yeah. Well, okay. So, let's see. Well, let's see. We're coming on to, we've got probably time for one more caller. Let's see. Oh, no, I guess we don't. We are going to go ahead and give the contact information for Adela at www.adelalavine.com, A-D-E-L-A-L-A-V-I-N-E. Thank you so much for joining us. I hope you've all gotten something wonderful out of what Adela's done with the calls today. And, again, blessings to all of you. Take good care, everybody.
Thank you so much. Keep talking to your family.
Keep talking.